I will be reading two verses for scripture reading this morning. The first passage will be Proverbs chapter 18, verses 24. And it reads, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Second passage that I will be reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. And it reads, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work."
It is good to be here on this morning. We hope, pray, and trust that all is well and that everybody is doing well. I do want us to consider turning our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And I want us to talk just for a few minutes, if we can, on why should I believe the Bible? Why should I believe the Bible? This month, we're going to be talking about why. And that's a good question. And sometimes our children ask us questions like why. And we need to be prepared to answer those questions at times. And not just say because I said so. But we ought to be prepared to answer those questions of why. When we think about Proverbs 18:24, we'll have more to say about this in a few minutes. But I do want to read for emphasis sake, so we can get some idea of what we're going to be discussing on this morning. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We stop and we consider that particular text, and we understand about being friendly. And when we consider being friendly, we're talking about being friendly toward one another, but in the case in which I'm going to use it today, being friendly toward God. During camp, Brother Ryan and I was talking, and I told him that I was going to be using this particular passage, and for the reason that when we consider why should I believe the Bible, well, one reason we ought to be believing what God says is because we want to be friendly toward Him, because He has been friendly toward us by giving us His Word. We'll talk more about that here in a few seconds. But when we think about the Bible, the Word of God, unfortunately, we have grown a hatred toward the Word of God. And for various reasons, maybe because of its accuracy, maybe because of its requirements, maybe because of its author, I don't know. We have grown to hate the Bible in many circles today, a very antagonistic mentality toward the Word of God. It's attacked by those who don't believe God. It's attacked by those who hate God. It's attacked by those who have turned away from God. It is attacked by those who misunderstand God. And it is attacked by those who want to mislead people from following God. So many reasons we could address. Why are people attacking the Bible? But why should we believe the Bible? Should we believe the Bible because it was handed down, 2 Thessalonians 2:15? Should we believe the Bible because we was brought up reading the Bible? Should we believe the Bible because, well, I think this is the best way to live? Well, when we consider, why should we believe the Bible? Well, for the very reasons why people are opposed to the Bible. Because of its accuracy, number one. Because of its requirements, number two. And because of its author, number three. Brethren, did you hear that? When we stop and we think about these great ideas. We ought to believe God's word because it is an accurate account. It is an accurate document. It's a document that we know that comes from the very mind of God. Job 7, verse number 17. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you set your heart on him. God is a God of intelligence. He has mind. He can think, and he has given us his word, and no one, Brother Ryan, can instruct God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16. It's nothing that we can come up with that can instruct God, that we come up with an argument and God says, I haven't thought about that. No, God knows all things. He's an accurate God. He's a relevant God, meaning that the things in which he has said long before the foundations of the earth, the world, time, friends, those things are still relevant even today. And we'll have more to say about that. Why? Why Proverbs 18:24? Well, again, when we think about being friendly, and I want us to consider in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24 through 26, turn your Bibles there. And I want us to study together because the servant of the Lord has a responsibility not to be quarrelsome, not to strive. He also has the responsibility. Now watch this point. In verse number 25, in humility, correcting those who are in, notice, opposition of themselves. When we stop and we think about those who don't believe the word of God for whatever reason, those who are antagonistic toward the Bible, the word of God, it's because they are opposing themselves. Keep in mind that what God's word is communicating is what's best for society, best for humanity, yea, best for man. We stop and we consider verse number 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare, the traps of the devil, having been taken captive, literally led into captivity by him to do his will. Friends, did you see that? What does it mean when a person is opposing themselves? They're actually, now watch this, are opposing God. Why? Because God's word, the Bible, is a demonstration from his mind to mankind for his good, for his good. Which should remind us of Romans chapter 8. Don't have time to look at all of these. Verses 4 through 8 and James chapter 4 and verse number 4 as it relates to when one is against God, one does not have the mind of Christ. Now, I want us to consider Romans chapter 8 real quick. In Romans chapter 8, Brother Royce, as I was pondering this, it made me think about those who are led by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to be led by the Word of God. One cannot be led by the Spirit unless one is led by the Word. Why? Because the Word came forth from the Spirit, and the Spirit came forth from God. And when we stop and we consider, how do I know what God requires out of me? In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 4, notice what the Bible here demonstrates to us. Romans chapter 8, if you have it, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, notice, set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, that's the Spirit's teaching, Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, friends, is death. But to be spiritually minded, watch it now, is life and peace. Wow. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? To be spiritually minded means that I have a mindset of life and a mindset of peace. A mindset that goes on into eternity and a mindset of tranquility. But notice the next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity, same idea as James chapter 4 and verse number 4, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Now watch this. Now the idea in the background of the book, we don't want to consider it all or holistically, because Paul here is dealing with the contrast between the law of Moses and the law of the Spirit, and we understand that. However, to have a carnal mind is to not be spiritual. To have a spiritual mind is to be that of God. But watch what he says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Friends, when we stop and we think about having the mind of Christ, that actually puts us in fellowship with God, thus making us friendly with God, and also making God our friend. Put these in your notes. When you think about people who wanted to do God's will, who wanted to be friendly toward God's will, Acts chapter 16, you have the Philippian jailer. Here we understand that he heard the gospel, and what did he do? He washed Paul and Silas's stripes. And the Bible teaches us that he and his household did what? They obeyed the gospel. We also think of Mark chapter 9, who's a man who had his father, a father who had his son, who was cast into the water and to the fire, and the water and the evil spirit was going to attempt to kill him. This man here wanted to know more about the will of God. Help thou mine unbelief. Why do I bring these particular points out? Go to John chapter 15. In John 15, why should we believe the Bible? In John 15, in verse number 14, then we'll circle back to John 15 and verse number 9 and 10, and then go to John 14, verse 15. Notice John 15, verse number 14. Notice what the Bible here says. You are my friends. These are the words of our Lord. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Brethren, did you hear that? When we do the will of God, brother, we're God's friends. When we listen to Jesus Christ, we're the friends of God. Now, go up to verse 9 and 10. And notice what Jesus says about his Father, about his God, about the one that sent him. He said, as the Father loved me. Watch this, brethren. Fathers, please listen. Young fathers, listen. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, put 1 John 5, verse number 3 in your notes if you're taking notes. You will abide in my love. How do I know that I'm abiding in the love of God? I'm keeping his commandments. Friends, you cannot, we cannot, no one cannot love God if they don't keep his commandments. But watch what he says. He says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That teaches us that God loved his Son so much. The Word, the Christ, the Emmanuel, Jesus loved him so much that he gave Jesus commandments. You know, a child left to themselves bring shame to their mother. Brethren, did we hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, God did not leave man to himself, gave him his word, gave us the Hagios Biblios, gave us the Holy Bible. Why did you give us the Holy Bible, God? Because I love you. We live in a time today where people allow their children to just run without restraint. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The idea there is where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Friends, we want to be a people who demonstrate that we love God. Go back to John 14 and verse number 15. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Why should I believe the Bible? I should believe the Bible because it came from the very God of heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse number 15 to his disciples, if you love me, watch this, keep my commandments. The things that God has told us, they are not burdensome, friends. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the reason why I wanted 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 read, is because when we consider being friendly toward God, to be friendly toward God is to keep his commandments. God has demonstrated his friendship toward us, toward the world. Romans 5 verses 8 through 10. And the very fact that while man was a sinner, Christ died. He gave him a savior. But in 2 Timothy 3 in verse number 14 and following, we see something very interesting. Look at verse number 14. We had verse 15 read, but notice, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul talking to a young Timothy. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother. Apparently his father, who was Greek, wasn't in the picture. That's fine. He still had the word of God. He still had godly parents, grandmother and a mother. And now he has a father in the faith by the man apostle Paul. And so notice what he says in verse 15. And that from childhood. Stop. I was talking to Olivia. We were talking about that word childhood the other day. Greek word brephos. That word there is used in Luke chapter 1. Put these in your notes. Verses 41 through 44. Also Luke chapter 2. Verses 12 through 16. And in both of those cases, here we have John the Immerser, who was in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. We have Jesus, who was in the womb of his mother, Mary. We have this word also used, Brother Royce. Remember, we talked about this, him being outside of the womb in the manger, which the idea there is here. We have Timothy being taught by his mother and grandmother, possibly from the womb and outside of the womb. Oh, why should we believe the Bible? We should believe the Bible, friends, because we have been exposed to it. Brother Ryan, Timothy was exposed to the Word of God from child. Hold on. Do I have to wait for my child to understand the Bible in order to expose him or her to the Bible? The answer is no. I need to be reading to my child all the time. Brother Christman, you said that last night. While the mother's is pregnant, she ought to be reading to her child the Word of God from brephos, from a child. Question, are you reading to your children, young parents? And I'm going to be telling all of the young parents who are not here for various reasons, go and listen to this lesson. Be reading to your children now that they can have a fighting chance. Talking to a sister this past week, and she said she was so thankful that her parents exposed her to the Word of God from a child. And that she has respect for God and respect for His Word. Young people, we have that responsibility. Here, Paul says that from a child that have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for what reason? Deliverance, salvation. Salvation through faith. Romans 10, 17, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice the location there. But watch this. All scripture is given by the breath of God, the inspiration of God, and notice the benefits of the word of God. Why should we believe the Bible? Because of its great benefits. It is profitable for teaching, learning doctrine, for reproof, that's evidence, for a correction, that is improvement in life, for, now watch this, for instruction in righteousness, that's training. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you hear those things? God's word has so many benefits. We have all of these people now, they want to be healthy and we should be healthy. And they always talk about the benefits of blueberries and the antioxidants that's in them. Love blueberries. If you ever want to invite me over and make me a blueberry shake, you go right ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. So many benefits to it. You know, the benefits of the word of God, that it is profitable for learning, for evidence, for improvement in life, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, literally fit for learning, thoroughly equipped for what? Every honorable work. Brethren, I don't know what else I could really say when we stop and we think about this. I believe that Timothy was trained up by his mother and grandmother by the word of God, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, train up a child. The idea of training there, brethren, we're still talking about why should I believe the Bible? The idea of training there is so important. That means that you are Johnny on the spot. You are on it. You are teaching. You are demonstrating. You are giving illustrations. It's Deuteronomy 6 all over, verses 1 through verse 6. But if you don't, then Proverbs 29:15 takes place. Children must be trained. Children must be trained, brethren, to believe the Bible early in their lives. They must be trained. Wow, so many children today growing up not believing the Bible. When we ought to be believing the Bible. I'm not talking about the Quran. Not talking about the catechism. We're not talking about the Baptist manual. We're not talking about creeds. We're not talking about synods. We're not talking about councils. Brethren, we're talking about the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. The Bible. So many have thrown the Bible away. Some, even in the Lord's church, have thrown the Bible away by not using Scripture in their Bible studies, in their sermons. You did not come to hear commentary. You did not come to hear my opinion. You came to hear the Word of God. That's what you ought to hear. And so wherever we are, we ought to be giving folk the Bible. Point number one, why should we believe the Bible? We ought to believe the Bible because of its accuracy. It is pinpoint. It is straight. It can be believed because it never lies. God does not lie. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Won't keep you long in these particular points, but I do want to make a few points. Number one, what other book shows the origin of light and darkness, water and land? What other book shows you the origin of 24-hour days? Evening and the morning was the first day, verse number 5. And you can go on and on and on to the seventh day. And brethren, there's still 24-hour days. Today is still the first day of the week. It was the first day of the week when God created, and he said that the end of the evening and the morning, day one, first day. We have the beginning of animal life and marine life, all in Genesis chapter 1. But look at verse 26. We have man's origin. We have the origin of man. Then God said, Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Brethren, all of us are made in the image of God. We see that in the beginning. The accurate account of the Word of God. Why should we believe the Bible? Because we understand that there is a beginning. But what other reason should we believe the Bible? Because we have the formation of man. Go to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, in verse number 7, we understand that man was formed from the dust of the ground. Every last one of us are dust. The other day we was in camp and was talking about the humility of man and the pride of man. And this saying was said, like, I'm nothing but a hunk of clay with a necktie. You know, that's all we are, or hunks of clay. But we're different from animals. We have conscience. We have souls. We have been made in the very image of God. Animals have not been made in the image of God. Brethren, we are someone. Why? Because we have the image of God stamped within us. But we have the fall of man, Genesis 3 and verse number 6 in the garden. find it very interesting that God gave man a law, gave him a place to live, told him what to do. This was for his good. He failed. He failed. So we have man's formation. We have man's fall. And man continued to fall. In Genesis 4 and verse number 8, we see the first murder. Cain killed his brother. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 23, we see the first violation of God's marriage law. Lamech takes on two wives. What a failure. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 31, we see man's fatality chronicled. Yes, we do. Because all through those verses, you'll find the idea, and he died. No wonder Genesis 5, 2 and 3 is so important. Being made in the image of Adam. Adam, he died. We can die. We have divine commentary on this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 through verse 49. We die. God told Adam, the day in which you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. He did die, spiritually speaking. But now he was on his course to dying physically. That's exactly what happened. Brent, why should we believe the Bible? What other book tells us about these events? No other book. We have even some of the failures of man. We don't want to talk about that. Another point of accuracy is concerning scientific foreknowledge. When we stop and we consider scientific foreknowledge, Isaiah 40 and verse number 22, we see God sitting on the circle of the earth. We come to find out that the earth is a circle. And when you look down upon it, you see all the land masses, the circles of the earth. Man come to find out what God knew a long time ago as relates to the paths of the sea. Man is only coming to terms with what God already knew, Brother Tobias. God is a good God. Why should I believe the Bible? Leviticus 11, verse number 19, we see that Israel was forbidden to eat bats. And we know that they carry a lot of what? Diseases. They're not healthy. Leviticus 13, 44 through 45, we see the laws for quarantining. When we think about quarantining someone who is ill, that individual is quarantined, not all of society. You see how man is messed up? During COVID, they wanted to quarantine everybody. God says, quarantine the ill. It just makes sense. If you go to the Bible and you can see what God is saying, it begins to make sense. Leviticus 17 and verse number 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We come to find out that people need blood so they can live. Remember that horrific shooting in Uvalde, a couple hundred miles from here. And they needed blood, and folk was racing to give blood so they could take it there for our fellow man. Why? Because without blood, people would die. Life of the flesh is in the blood. Last but not least, Numbers 19 and the water of purification. We know so many things about that. Promises. Why should we believe the Bible? In Genesis 3 and verse number 15, God does something amazing. God, what will you do? My son is going to crush the power of the serpent. My son, who is going to be born of a woman, born of a virgin, without the aid of a man, Jeremiah 31 and verse number 22. We're going to circumvent man. We're going to go around man to bring in the Son of Man. So God is going to do something amazing. He's going to crush the power of Satan. No wonder Satan doesn't have dominion over us. Death does not have to be feared. Why? We just have to prepare properly for it. And we understand that God made promises. Man will lie to you. Man will make promises to you and back off of them. But not God. When God makes a promise, guess what? He fulfills it. In Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, he makes a promise to Abraham and his seed. All the nations through Abraham would be blessed. We see that being fulfilled, and we'll talk about that here in a few seconds. He makes another promise as it relates to Genesis 49 in verse number 10, how a king would be coming through Judah that would be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Jesus, or the Father, would be establishing a spiritual kingdom, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, through David. He makes another promise of salvation in Isaiah chapter 2. Turn your Bibles there in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and notice the promise that God makes. And brethren, we have to ask ourselves, as we're reading the Bible and we're looking at the Bible and comparing it to other documents that men write, which one can we trust the most? The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the last days, the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills. Watch this. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Watch this. God makes a promise of his kingdom beginning in Jerusalem and teaching beginning at Jerusalem. All nations flowing to Jerusalem. Why? Because he's about to do something magnificent. God, what are you about to do? About to establish a kingdom. I'm about to establish a territory where my son, who is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Brother Chris, will rule. And he's going to rule in righteousness. He's not going to be like an earthly ruler who rules in immorality and unrighteousness. No, he's going to rule in righteousness. He's going to rule in righteousness. So God makes these powerful promises. And the question we have to ask ourselves, did he fulfill those promises? He sure did. Brethren, why should this make us smile? It should make us smile because with all of the lies circulating around us, it's good to know that we can go to a document, go to a book, go to the Word of God, go to the Hagios Biblios, the Holy Bible, and know that someone will tell us the truth. Someone will tell us the truth. You're not going to find it on Fox. You're not going to find it on CNN. You're not going to find it on these radio networks. Brother, you can go to the Word of God. Why should I believe the Bible? Because God fulfills his promises. He fulfilled the first promise, as we spoke of in Matthew 28, verse number 1, when Jesus was raised from the dead, being in the grave 3 days and three nights on that first day of the week. The day in which we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth right now, he raised Jesus up on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, was established on the day of Pentecost, Leviticus 23, verses 14 through verse number 15. Brethren, we can believe God. We can believe him. Don't be doubting God. Don't doubt him. He said, I'm going to bless all nations through your seed, Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26 through verse 29. Powerful. God fulfills his promise. He fulfills his promise. Verse number 26, for you are all the sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, guess what? Guess how you get into Christ? Being baptized into Christ. Can't say the sinner's prayer into Christ. You can't ask Jesus in your heart into Christ. One gets into Christ by way of baptism, being baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. How do you clothe yourself? How do you put on Christ? By being baptized into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham. Through your seed, Evelyn, all the nations will be blessed. God is a God that keeps his promises. Why should I believe the Bible? We have so many people attacking the Bible. We even have our own brethren attacking the Bible, Stop attacking that which is right. The Bible can be trusted. Jesus' resurrection, when he was raised from the dead, Acts 2 and verse 29 and 30, which is a fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7 verses 12 through 14, he was raised to sit on Christ's throne, on David's throne, I'm sorry. Why is that important? Because some people are still trying to obey David. They're still trying to keep the law of Moses. No, the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, friends. And the very fact that the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, who are we listening to today? Even Moses would say in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 20, that you need to listen to that prophet like unto me. Who would be that prophet like unto me? Well, Peter would say in Acts 3, verses 23 to verse number 26, I believe it is, he would say, Moses spoke of Christ. We're listening to Christ. Fulfilled promises. We can go on and on and on as we think about the promises that God had made. God keeps his promises. Put in your notes Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 through 20. Because one thing about God, he keeps his promises and we can trust him. Last but definitely not least, we'll talk more about some reasons to believe in the Bible. Why should I believe the Bible? Because of its relevancy. Brethren, this is a relevant book. Just as in Genesis chapter 2, when God brought the woman to the man, and he said in verse 23, 24, I believe it is, or 24 and 25, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why? Because she was taken from the man. God intended man and woman to come together in holy matrimony. One man, one woman for life. And Jesus would quote those passages in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. There we have brethren saying that God's law on marriage is not relevant. Well, that's how the old people did it. The older generation did it that way. As if man knows how to keep a marriage together better than God. As if man understands that men and women can jump in and out of marriages anytime they want to. Yet here Jesus, who has all authority, gives an exception in Matthew 19 and verse number 9, fornication. That's the only exception as it relates to living spouses. Yet if a spouse dies, Romans 7 verses 1 through 3, an individual could go and remarry and be another person's spouse without being in damnation with God. Why? Because that spouse has died. And one thing about death, it nullifies contracts. And so when we stop and we think about this, friends, that is still relevant today. But how has people, even in the church, begin to stop believing the Bible? Well, I'm not going to say that I would marry someone of the same sex. I wouldn't say I would do that, but who am I to stop someone else? Because love is love. That's false. Brother Ryan, that's false. God is love, and whatever is love, it has to match morality, righteousness, holiness, yea, God. Friends, the Bible is relevant. Temptation in Genesis chapter 3, in the garden itself, and I find this interesting. You go back and you study this. When the serpent was communicating with Eve, and when she finally gave in to that, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through verse number 13, being tricked by the devil, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 2 and 3, She finally caved in and partook of the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband who was with her, Genesis 3 account tells us, and he did eat. Hold on, Royce. Adam was there? Adam should have told Eve, what are you doing? Stop. Which tells us that accountability is just as relevant today as it was then. 2,000 years later, men are still being tempted. I'm talking about humanities. We're still being tempted 2,000 years later. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through verse number 3, that he that suffereth in the flesh has ceased from sin. When we have the mind of Christ, we take on the mind of Christ. We begin fighting ourselves. We may fall from time to time, but we get up. Why? Because a righteous man falleth 7 times and he raises up. He gets up. The word of God is not outdated, brethren. 2,000 years ago, Aquila and Priscilla corrected Apollos in the proper way, taking him to the side. Today, we should be doing the same thing today. 2,000 years ago, baptism was essential for salvation. Guess what? It's still essential for salvation today. 2,000 years ago, men and women were being baptized into the Lord's church, the Church of Christ. Men and women are still being baptized into the Church of Christ today. 2,000 years ago, men and women in the church had the hope of eternal life, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back upon the cloud and to take us back. And we're still waiting 2,000 years later. The Bible is relevant. The Bible is relevant. I'll be honest with you. This was probably one of my favorite studies. Why? Because it solidified my faith even more so. You know, Brother Tobias, the more you study, the more you realize that God is a God that wants to solidify your faith. He wants you to believe every word he has said. He never wants you to turn back from him. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 through verse number 39. He never wants you to draw back. He has no pleasure in the one that draws back. He has no pleasure in the soul. Do you believe the word of God? Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to consider these words. And we're going to be talking about why, all month. Why? Why do I believe this? Even though we've grown up in the church, why do I believe this? Why do I believe that God is God and Jesus is the Word and the Son of God and the Holy Spirit was the one sent in the church? Why do I believe those things? Or do I believe those things because they were just told to me? Well, they have to first be told to you, but then you have to grow up and check them. Grow up and check them to make sure that these things are so. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sin. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. God, what will you do? I'll save you from all your sin. I'll add you to my son's church. He'll be Lord over your life. He'll be king over your life. Only thing you have to do is submit to his will. He'll lead you right back to me. Right back to me. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been obedient. You began to waver in your belief. You're starting to question things in your spirituality and your knowledge of the word and the will of God. Well, it's okay to question that, but get the answer in the word of God. Why? Because in the answer, your faith is solidified. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11, you begin to add to your faith. And you won't stumble. You won't fall away. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.